Okay, well, I mean, that's good, too. If you don't have any questions, we've answered them all. So, I mean, that's...
You're not going to offend me. I can't promise your question's not stupid, but you're not going to offend me. There's one.
Yes.
What is the biggest misconception between either faith? So from Muslims to Christians or Christians to Muslims? I would say it's probably the same in terms of who they think we are and who we think they are. So a lot of people are on the whole like, you know, Muslims are bad deal, and you know they believe in all kinds of crazy stuff. And they're over there saying, man, you know, I didn't realize that Christians could, you know, listen to you know, terrible, vulgar music and watch all those movies and produce it in such a Christian nation. I think that's the misconception, is that they think that what they see on TV is representative of us, and we think what we see on TV is representative of the Muslims, which that couldn't be further from the truth. That's probably the most giant misconception between the two. Really good question. Yeah, I was born in Jordan, which is right next door to Palestine, which the blood that pumps through my veins is Palestinian blood. Both my parents are from there. And we lived there for just about a year, and then we came to the States, and we've been to the States ever since. I went back when I was 16 for about 3 months, so I got a pretty good idea of where I came from, and that was a very humbling experience and very important for me. So I've been back, and I hope to be back. I think the World Cup is in Qatar in a couple of years, so you know, I might make a side trip over to see some family. And, yeah. They make a bunch of pots.
Tell about that and your grandfather.
Yeah, so the valley in the mountains over there is where my grandpa lives. Right in the valley, there's the olive groves everywhere. There's a little town. It's about 1,000. Sheep and goat and 300 human beings. So it's a very small, you know, they used to bathe in the river. I remember my dad said that when he got a bicycle, I think he was 22, and he just like lost it. It was the coolest thing. And then I think he said when someone got a TV, a small black and white TV, one person in the town got a TV, I think when he was in high school, and everybody in the town would go to that one person's house. They'd put the TV out on the driveway, and they would all watch it. So, yeah, it's in the area of the Mount of Olives. So that's really really very unique. And we still own land there. In fact, that I have a portion of that land that well technically belongs to my dad, but my dad will give it to my brother and I. And that's where we want to go back and kind of have like a vacation home, but you know it's not really a vacation-y area right now, so we're working on it. You know, we're working on that part, and as soon as it becomes a vacation spot, we're gonna have a free vacation there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what we're gonna do. Open a bed and breakfast. That'd be a good idea.
Will you have TV there?
Yes. Hey, they still do it today. I remember when I was in Jordan, I was walking. We walked everywhere, and I was walking to a store. And we walked by a couple houses, and there were like 50 people in the driveway, and the TV was out on a table in the driveway, and everybody's watching the, at the time it was the European Championship soccer in 2004. So it was a, sorry? Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of sense of community. People would come hang out together. They would often eat, you know, together, and you know, it's really a beautiful thing, a lot of sense of community there.
What else?
Crazy, my son was just having a panic attack. And I said, and I just threw a fit. Before you knew it, stuff was happening within 5 minutes. And he looked at me and winked. He said, I couldn't have done that.
My mom, speaking of mothers throwing a fit, I remember the way that we were in this country for a long time before my brother and I got papers. And my parents got papers immediately. The day that we landed, they got papers. We didn't for some reason. Anyway, fast forward 12 years. The way that we got papers, my mom got so fed up with mailing stuff back and forth and that system not working that she literally walked into the immigration office. And I don't know how many of you have been to the immigration office. Everybody here looks like they're an American. The line is, have you been to the tax collector's office? The line's out the door. Well, nowadays you can actually do this stuff online. You know, you can get like a driver's license online. So back in the day, you know, when I was younger even, you used to have to go pay your ticket and wait in that miserable line and all that stuff. Well, the line was out the door. And my mom walked to the front of the line and said, move, and knocked on the door of the person that's in charge. She went in there. Ma'am, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. And she walked out and we had papers. So yeah, that whole that women beneath men thing and all that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. I don't know. That's why I just always say, ask my mom. Ask my mom. What else? Good question. Yes. Maybe generally. Be specific.
Their home situation.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of just what the country is. You know, when we talked about a perspective on radical Islam, I mentioned to you that things over there, I mean, it's extremely difficult. We talked about people losing land. My family is in, you know, a lot of my family is in Gaza and in the West Bank. And that's all we own now. Which is slowly being taken anyway. So it's not really and that's why I feel incredibly blessed to be here, because, you know, they weren't given the same opportunity to be here. So God is, you know, God's providence has really worked in my life and Sarah's, you know, and in our lives. And that's, in fact, how I found the good people at Cork, God's providence as well. Yes.
We know.
What about her? Oh, and Sarah's grandmother.
It's a lady. Sarah's grandmother was no joke.
We happen to know a general that just happens to be a Christian. And a couple of years ago, he went over to Iraq to negotiate with some of the Muslim tribal men. And he went into the tents, and they had great respect for him because they knew that he was a man of God.
Right.
Where does that respect get lost?
Yeah, I don't think the respect does get lost. I think that, I mean, you mean in terms of, not them, but in terms of other people?
Right.
Why they, okay, now, yes, now I'm with you. That doesn't surprise me because of the honor and shame thing that I talked about the other night. That's a really big deal in Islam. So if you're bringing honor to yourself and your family, so he was a man of God, then they would look at him and have a tremendous amount of respect. The people that, you know, bring shame to themselves, that are, you know, sinful, so on and so forth, they're very shameful. But I think that it lies within the men of God, or in other words, the people of peace that I mentioned the other night. So if you're a person of faith, if you're really a person of faith, you don't have to agree with somebody else's faith to have a respect for them. And certainly if you've ever had a Bible study, then... And you're really a person of faith, and you know that. You know that you can walk away, and although somebody may not agree with you, you can respect certain aspects of who that person is if they are actually a man of faith. I think where it gets lost is when you're not a man of faith. So in particular, the people that profess to be Muslims but aren't actually practicing Islam, because those gentlemen that you're referring to are probably practicing Islam the way that it is in the Quran. And not just wearing a name badge like saying, hey, I'm Muslim, but I'm not really going to act that way. Just like a lot of people say, hey, I'm Christian, but I'm going to, you know, be sinful. So I think that's where it gets lost, is the people of faith, the true people of faith. Good question.
What? I'm sure your life and your walk has been an influence on your family. Obviously, your mom's been important. Have you had any questions? I mean, do you see any Bible studies coming up? Do you see any conversions happening? Are they so deep into it that they would never ask you, you know, why you converted to Christianity or what your chances are of converting any of your relatives to Christianity?
Yeah, you know, AJ came to church. He lived with us for a while, and he came to church for a while. You know, the reason why he stopped coming to church, there was a congregation that we're at, and he was deterred by the people that were there. They just weren't very friendly. And so, like I said the other night, you know, Jesus is the biggest reason why somebody would become a Christian, and Christians are the biggest reason why somebody wouldn't become a Christian. So I think that the more positive experiences that my family have with me and with, you know, Cork and other Christians, I think that's the pathway to opening some doors. Now, I believe some will open, Lord willing, with my mom because she's had some of that exposure to us, you know. So she sees, like, I mean, she loves Connie, and I know Connie loves her, and that stuff makes a real difference, not only on a personal level, somebody taking that interest, but on a level of, yeah, something might come from that. So that's huge. You know, and then AJ, I think that, you know, he'll find his way back to being interested. I think, you know, we talked about people being in a looking phase. You know, sometimes people are looking, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they need some space, sometimes they don't. I remain hopeful. That's all I can do. I remain hopeful and optimistic. I'm usually pessimistic. I'm optimistic about the prospect of that happening.
Do you remember the first time that we met your Aunt Susan, that she proposed that we not eat? And
yeah.
Susan and your other aunt,
Nadine. Yeah. Yeah, so there, I mean, you have to understand the number one thing that you can do is build a relationship, because once they realize that you're not some, you know, jerk who's all sinful and that's your faith and stuff, then it's like, oh, you know, just like you, you know, I'll give you an example of how this hits us in the face and a light bulb comes on. You ever met a Muslim, like maybe it's your doctor or somebody that you know, and you just go, or somebody that you deal with constantly in business, and you go, wow, you know, that Muslim is really nice. He's a really nice guy. Well, imagine the same thing is happening. You know, my aunt walks away and goes, yeah, he's really nice. Wow. Cool. Wasn't expecting that. Like, who do we think we are, you know? Who do we think we are, and who do we think they are? I mean, listen, we're all made by God. We're all given the pathway to follow Jesus. Who are we to sit there and say that someone is or someone isn't, or something, someone can't or someone could? Or who are we to say that? So I think we just need to open our minds, be willing to have relationships with people, and, you know, like, no one's asked me about the fear thing yet. This week, but that usually gets asked every time I do this. Now, aren't you scared that, you know, somebody's going to track you down and do something to you? Or that's what I'm afraid of. I can't go to a mosque. You know, say if you encouraged me to go to a mosque and speak to an imam about the faith and discuss things with him, I can't see myself going to a mosque. I'm too scared. You know, there was a Muslim that showed up to this meeting when I did it in Tennessee. A Muslim that walked right in, I don't know if he was scared or not, but regardless of that, he still showed up. I wonder how he must have felt being literally in a room full of 100 Christians, and he's the one Muslim, and it's kind of obvious, you know. I mean, we look a little different, you know, black hair, black eyes, dark skin, and he's just sitting there, and he just loved it, and he was so encouraged by all the people that were there. And then there were people later that night that said, say, if I wanted to meet him, but I was scared. I mean, we've just got to get with the program. We really just have to get with the program. We've all spat in the face of Jesus. Not you know, we're not the righteous, holy people that are sitting here. And listen, let's not be the Pharisees. You know what I mean? Let's not be those people. Let's cast our bias aside. One of the biggest things that you can do is build a relationship with a Muslim. You have no idea the misconceptions and the barriers that you will absolutely destroy just by being who y'all are. Y'all are all nice people. Just be yourselves. What else?
Do you
dangerous is it for you to go back to Jordan?
No, I mean, Jordan's pretty relaxed. Jordan's pretty relaxed. I mean, you couldn't speak for individuals. I mean, I remember the first time I went to Tennessee. I mean, you know, middle of nowhere, Tennessee. You know, they're like, hey, we want you to come do this meeting. And I'm like, Kingston Springs, Tennessee. And I Google it, and all you see are trees and, you know, a couple small buildings and dirt roads. And I'm thinking, and they're like, we advertise it in the paper. I'm like, okay. I mean, you know, I mean, you never know the actions. I mean, they're in all seriousness, they're an hour away. And I think it was Murfreesboro. There was a mosque that was burnt just an hour away. So, I mean, you never know. But at the end of the day, it's like I told Sarah. I mean, if I one day whenever I do go, I hope it's in the pulpit. You know, that I mean, what or worshiping God. I mean, what better way to do? But you can't speak for the actions of people. But generally speaking, it would be, especially in Jordan, it'd be fine. My family would get pretty upset if somebody got hot with me. And I'd just sit back and let them take control.
Well, thank you very much for this good session. And we appreciate this guy especially and all of that. So, y'all have a great night. Appreciate it.